He was hiding among the stuff. Everybody say stuff. Turn to your neighbor and say, you got too much stuff. Now, looking this up and stuff, this word stuff, stuff is a catch-all phrase. You know, I got too much stuff, and it could be silverware. I got too much stuff, and we just bunch a bunch of stuff together, and, you know, I got a lot of this stuff over here, and like in my garage used to be, which it is not now, used to be full of stuff. But and we just kind of combine it and make it the same. And so anyway, I thought, well, I'll look this up in the Strong's and see what it says. And the word is, I think it's called Kelee, K-E-L-E-E, which means vessel, instrument, weapon, jewel, stuff, thing, armor, furniture, carriage, bag, and miscellaneous. In other words, the word stuff means stuff. Felt like it was a good definition. So I wasn't quite happy with that, so I looked it up in Webster's. This was a cute one here. A person's portable property. Kind of like a portable outhouse, no. Person's portable property, effects, baggage, belongings, clutters, gear, junk, luggage, movables, paraphernalia, and things. The word stuff in the King James is used 16 times. In every case, it is described as material possessions. And so what got me on this thing was thinking about stuff. And I was really glad to think about my house I live in now. It's not full of, the garage is not full of stuff. And I made mention before, we used to haul stuff across country. I mean, I made mention of before, when we lived in California, my lawnmower quit just before we moved. And I said, I'll get it fixed in Texas. When I got to Texas, I didn't have the money to get it fixed. But I kept it. Moved to Orlando, Florida with my lawnmower. Kept it. I was going to get it fixed there too, but still didn't quite have the extra money to say, I'm going to get this thing fixed. And that wasn't good enough to get rid of it there. I hauled it all the way to Arizona. And I thought, I'll get it fixed here. And then I realized when I got here, just what you're saying, we don't have grass. So I got rid of some stuff, that lawnmower. And it was a process. We hauled so much stuff moving. We thought later on, why did we do this? But sometimes stuff gets in our way of getting God's view on what we're supposed to do. And there's nothing wrong with stuff. And you can have a whole garage full of it. And it doesn't matter as long as your stuff isn't stopping you from doing what God's asked you to do. Amen? So I want to go through a few people that allowed stuff to mess them up. And the first one is Gehazi. Now, Gehazi, I'm going Japanese here. Gehazi, I know it's not even Japanese, but anyway, Gehazi, he was Elisha's right-hand person, just like Elisha was Elijah's right-hand person, was his ministry partner, his armor-bearer, his one that did everything that the other one didn't want to do. Amen. And so Gehazi, remember the story when Nahum came down, and the prophet Elisha, said to him, didn't even come to the door. He told Gehazi to tell him, go dip 7 times in the Jordan River and you'll be made well. And Nahum got a little bit upset. He says, you expect me to go, you know, he wasn't telling the prophet that, but he was telling his people. He expects me to go down to that dirty river and dip in that thing seven times? Why can't he just wave his hand or something along that line and it all be done? Which makes perfectly good sense. But there's something with God and obedience about doing it the way he says to do it. And so anyway, Nahum had a smart man with him. He said, now, if he would have asked you to have done anything outstanding, outlavish, out to go fight a big troop of enemies or whatever, you would have done it wholeheartedly. Yeah. So why can't you obey him in this, basically, paraphrasing? And so he did. And the sixth time he went into that water, he looked the same. I could just kind of picture him getting a little upset. Why can't this work the fourth time? Why can't this work the fifth time? Why can't this work the sixth time? I'm not even going in. But he went in. He obeyed what the Lord had told him. Amen. And he did. And he came out and it said his skin was like white as snow. All healed. So he went back to the prophet's house. And he wanted to pay the prophet for getting him healed. And Elisha said, no, you are not doing this. I'm not accepting money this way. And so then, here it is in 2 Kings chapter 5. I'm just going to read two verses, 26 and 27. And so anyway, he said to them, now this is, excuse me, Gehazi, that guy, I could say it normally, no problem at all, went out and chased them down and said, you know what, we do need some things. And Elisha said no. And he took some things and he took some payment for the work that was done, and they were more than happy to give it. And then this is what Elisha had said to him in verse 26. And then he said to him, did not my heart go with you when the man turned back from his chariot to meet you? It is time to receive money. And is it time to receive money and to receive clothing, oil, gloves, vineyards, and sheep, ox or male, and female servants? In other words, this is not the time to do it. It is not. It is time to receive. Is it time to receive? I know I could get it out right. Is it time to receive? If it's not, it wasn't. And it didn't matter if it was or not. He said no. So Gehazi got enamored with stuff. He started thinking about the profitable end. And that wasn't the time to be making profit off anything. So he got caught up in this. And actually what happened is Elisha said to him, the thing that was on Nahum is now on you. And you know what? You never hear any more about Gehazi anymore in the Bible after that story. Why? He was finished. With that, he had to deal with the leprosy. So sometimes stuff, everyone say stuff again. Oh, you guys are good. And it can cause our view to get hindered of what God wants us to be doing. And if we allow stuff, and like I said, there's nothing wrong with stuff, but when it robs your vision of what God's wanting to do, takes you away from what God wants you to do, then it's no good. Here's another example. The rich young ruler in the New Testament, Luke 18:18. Excuse me. Now a certain ruler had asked him, saying, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? So Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one's good but that one, that is God. You know the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother. And he said, I've done these things from my youth. So when Jesus heard these things, he said to him, you still lack one thing. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven, and come and follow me. But when he heard this, he became very sorrowful, for he was very rich. Is there anything wrong with being rich? No. Is there anything wrong with being rich and not serving the Lord.
Yes.
So the Lord was, and if you start thinking about how the Lord does, if he would have sold everything, just the principle of giving and receiving would have kicked in. Don't you think he would have got a supernatural return on all that? Amen. But the stuff had him. All his possessions had him. The stuff. King Agrippa, in Acts 26, verse 28, it says, "Then Agrippa said to Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Almost. But what got in his way? Stuff. His position. He's thinking, I could be right there where you're at, Paul, if I give up my position. But he's not thinking about how God would protect him. And then in Felix, in Acts chapter 24 and 26, says, "After some days, when Felix came with his wife, Drusilla, who was Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Now as he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid and answered, 'Go away now. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you.'" In other words, stuff got in his way. It's not convenient for me to deal with you right now. It's always convenient when the Lord's speaking to you to work with him. Amen. And there's a couple more I had, but we're going to move on. Now, so far, the message has kind of been down. You know, I got stuff in my garage. I got stuff in my house. I got stuff in my car. I got stuff everywhere. I might not be listening to God. Okay, now let's look at some people who heard themselves or realized that the stuff they had wasn't going to deter their position and place with God. And the first one we made mention of him earlier was Elijah. Elisha. So Elisha's out farming, doing what he does. He's farming, he's tilling, he's got his oxes out, and they're doing all this stuff. And so let's pick it up here in 1 Kings chapter 19, and we're going to read 19 through 21. Amen. It says in verse 19, chapter 19, "So he departed from there and found Elijah, the son of," every time I read this, I think Snapchat, but Shapat, or whatever it is, "who was plowing in with the 12 yoke of oxen before him, and it was with the 12th. Then Elijah passed by and threw a mantle on him, and he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, 'Please, let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I shall follow you.' And Elijah said to him, 'Go back again, for what have I done to you? You can take this calling or not.'" Right? Sure glad he did. He got a double portion. Verse 21, So Elisha turned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slaughtered them, boiled their flesh, using the oxen's equipment, and gave it to the people, and they ate. And he rose and followed Elijah and became his servant. Amen. He could have said, "You know what? I got to finish this 40 acres of plowing before I can do anything." But you know what? He said, "You know what? I'm getting rid of the oxen. I'm getting rid of everything that's going to hinder me from moving on with God." What a concept. How many of us have got that serious with the Lord? This stuff really doesn't matter to me. This stuff that I accumulated over my lifetime, I can't take it to heaven. But it is nice to have some stuff. But Elisha said, "You know what? I'm getting rid of all my old stuff. I'm going to go cling to the prophet God's going to reward me with new stuff. Amen. It's not written, but that's what happened. Amen. All right. Here's another one, Peter. You're thinking, Peter? Peter was a fisherman. And whether if he said it or not, he thought he was a pretty good fisherman because that's his personality. He was just strong about everything. And so anyway, after Jesus had come back, after being raised from the dead, he told in John 21:15, he says, and he's talking to Peter here, he says, "So when they have eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?' 'Yes,' he said, 'yes' to him. 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' He said to him, 'Feed my lambs.'" In other words, you don't ever hear of Peter ever fishing again after that. He probably told a few people, "This is how you do it. I did this for years." But you know what? He changed and didn't allow his old occupation, the stuff he would get by doing that, to affect his walk with the Lord. He threw it to the side. And did God provide for him? Yes. Did God make every way for him? Yes. Wasn't always easy. But he gave up the nets. He gave up the fishing. Abraham was another one that gave up everything to do what God told him to do. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8, it says, "By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called out of the place which he would receive as an inheritance." And I don't know if we quite understand inheritance like they understand inheritance. It was everything. He would have got everything. "And he went out not knowing where he was going." Isn't the Lord still doing that today? Sends us out on faith. Amen. And in verse 15 says, "And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which he had come out of, they would have had opportunity to return." If he would have kept thinking about the stuff back home, all the stuff my father's has, all the stuff in my father's house, when I'm out here walking in the desert wondering where I'm going to go. He didn't even tell me where I'm going, but I'm going. But if he would have kept thinking about that, he probably would have returned to the stuff. But praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He was a father of many nations, the Bible says. Moses. We're right there in Hebrews chapter 11. Let's look at verse 24. Excuse me. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. He looked to the reward. In other words, Moses had it made in Pharaoh's house. And when he decided to leave Pharaoh's house, he was giving up all the stuff. And God put him on a mission. He did some wilderness time for about 40 years. Getting him ready. Preparing him. Hallelujah. But sometimes stuff, if he would have just looked at the stuff he was having to leave in Egypt, he would have probably just stayed in Egypt. But that calling, placement God had put in his heart, saying, "Forget all the stuff and go and do what I tell you to do." Amen. So that leads me to this question I wrote down. What is the stuff in your life that keeps you from fulfilling what God's purpose, will in your life? Well, let's take a look at a few options. Sometimes it's work. I can't serve the Lord like I want to because of work stuff. And there's nothing wrong with work. Believe me, you need to work. And I'm not saying nothing, but sometimes we take positions, we take different days, we do different things, and it messes up our position in Christ where He wants us to be. So you got to watch that. What about hobbies? Is there anything wrong with hobbies? No. It's just stuff we enjoy doing. But when that hobby becomes more important than me listening and obeying what God wants me to do, it's just stuff. God's eternal stuff. As I said earlier, we're not taking any of this to heaven. It's nice to have here. Don't get me wrong. I like having nice things. I'm not saying anything against prosperity because we believe in prosperity. I believe God wants the Christians in this life to be more than prosperous. But if it's got you instead of God got you, that's where the problem starts. It's just stuff. Sometimes we need to get rid of stuff. I'm looking forward to get all my stuff back out of storage. But I'm also looking forward of, do I really need this stuff? I mean, I went months without it, and I've lived. There's been a few little things here and there, obviously, but, you know, we want our stuff, but and there's nothing wrong with it, but we got to realize, does the stuff have us to the point that I can't hear God, see what His will for my life is? Amen. Maybe another thing that's got you so stuff-filled is might be bitterness or unforgiveness. And I've heard people say, I'll never forgive them. And I think, oh, that's such a wrong statement. You're going to need another touch from the Lord. Amen. But we want to be good Christians, but I am not going to forgive them. I got bitterness against that whole thing that happened. But it says in Mark 11, verse 25 and 26, but whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that the Father in heaven may forgive you of your trespasses. As we're not as perfect as we think. But if you do not forgive, neither will the Father in heaven forgive you. In other words, you start praying and you start believing, but you're harboring this bitterness, this unforgiveness in your life, and really your prayer life is going nowhere because you're not doing the Word. I'm not saying you got to go and make them your best friend, you got to hang around with them. I'm just saying, hey, you just need to forgive them. You need to forgive them. And you know how you know you forgive them? I can run into them at Walmart and the knots and the things don't come in my stomach. I can say, how you doing? Love you in Christ. Don't want to be around you, but I love you. You know what I'm saying now. Amen. I want you to listen to what Joseph told his brothers and father as they came out of Israel and went into Egypt. It says in Genesis 45, 19 and 20, now you are commanded, do this, take carts out of the land of Egypt for your little ones and your wives. Bring your father and come. Also, do not be concerned about your goods, for the best of all the land of Egypt is yours. That's what Joseph told his brothers. Take some carts, bring your wife, bring your kids, leave your stuff. Leave it behind. You're moving on to a new land. You're moving on to a new possessions. You're going to have the best of the land. Doesn't that sound a lot like God? You're going to have the best. Glory to God. So why am I hanging on to this junk that's causing me not to obey God in my life? Why don't I let it go and let God give me the good things he wants to bring to me? Amen. He said, leave all your stuff at home. I like that. He says, you're going to have the good of the land. You're going to have everything here. So this morning I'm asking you, what stuff do you have in your life that's stopping you from hearing or obeying the Lord speaking to you in your life? It may be physical, it may be not physical. But we all at times have stuff that keep us from the things of the Lord. And we have to get rid of stuff. Have to get rid of junk. Just like I finally had to get rid of my lawnmower. It was junk. It served its purpose. And I wasn't going to fix it. I come to that realization after 14 states. I am not going to fix this thing. And I don't need it here. I come to a new land. New promises. Built upon better promises. Amen. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes just for a few moments here? Maybe you're thinking about some of the things that the Lord spoke to you years ago, months ago, maybe weeks ago, or days ago. But there's stuff hindering you in your walk and in your life. Stuff that keeps you from doing God's will in your life. We have to realize it's just stuff. God's will is more valuable than stuff. With all the eyes closed and the heads bowed, I want you, if you had stuff in your life that you know you need to deal with, I just want you to raise your hand as a signification to the Lord. I'm going to start clearing out some stuff. I'm going to start making my closet a little cleaner, my heart a little cleaner, where I can get rid of the stuff that's been holding me down and holding me back. So, Father, I thank you right now in the name of Jesus for everyone that lifted their hands, Lord, that we're clearing out bigger areas in our heart, in our spirit, so that we'll be able to hear your voice. And be able to do what you asked us to do, whether big or small. Father, we thank you that we're clearing out stuff. In Jesus' name, we thank you. Thank you, Lord, for helping us to remind us that, hey, you know what? I used to hear your voice more. I used to understand. I wanted to do your will all the time, but I allowed stuff to mess me up. So, Lord, I'm taking care of that stuff right now. And I'm moving it to the side because you got greater things for me and greater stuff for me. Hallelujah. You may put your hands down. Maybe you're here today and you never asked Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, to make him Lord of your life. It's time to come to Jesus and say, I'm tired of fooling around, tired of making excuses, tired of doing what I want to do, but I've come today. You're here for a reason, and that's to meet Jesus Christ. If that's you, if you never accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I'd like you to raise your hand because I'm going to pray for you real shortly here. Is that you this morning? That says, I need Jesus in my life. I need to make him Lord of my life. Yes, thank you. Thank you. I need to make Jesus Lord of my life. Decision maker, owner, master. Is there somebody else here this morning? Anybody else? I want to look around one more time. I don't want to miss anybody. Would everyone just repeat after me? Father God, I thank you for your son Jesus, and that he died and his blood was shed for me. And Jesus, I thank you for accepting me as one of your children. And I ask you, Jesus, to forgive me of all my stuff I've done in the past and make me new on the inside. And I accept you as my Lord, my Savior, my Master, my Owner, my Decision Maker. You're my all in all. I'm turning my life over to you this morning. Amen. God is good. If you just prayed that and you never prayed that, you're born again. You might be thinking, well, I don't see the firecrackers going off in the sky or anything. Well, you know what? It doesn't matter. It happened on the inside with confession. It's made known. And the thing that you have to do is you have to tell somebody. And I've got a special book I want to give to that one person when we leave tonight, this morning, sometime during the day. But it talks about the next step, why it's important to come to church. You know, we can live a Christian life and not come to church, but I don't believe you'll have a strong Christian life because you won't be discipled, you won't understand the things of life, and you won't be hanging around people that love God. Amen? And it's so easy, the word says in the gospel, for the enemy to come and steal that which God planted in your heart. So I don't want the devil to steal anything from me. So, and it talks about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Just a good little book to read. Hallelujah. It's important to be saved. It's important to go to church. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, I run across a lot of people just out and about, and they say, well, I have my own way of doing church. And you know what that is? Nothing. It's absolutely nothing. They're not turning on all the Christian television. They're not doing what they say they're doing. The Bible says you got to become a doer of the word and not forsake the assembling together. Amen. We want to stay together. We part during the week. We come back for a refilling on Wednesday, get filled up again. You know, we might be a half tank low. We get filled up again and we're out ready to go the rest of the week. But church is so important. Hallelujah. I can put somebody who goes to church all the time, that the church ministers the Word of God, and someone that says they just have their own little church at their house, I can tell you who the stronger Christian is going to be. The one that goes to church. They're making an effort to say, you know, God, I love you. I'm going to go to your house today. Makes all the difference. Hallelujah. God is good. And now is the season that we say Merry Christmas. It's not Happy Holidays. Merry Christmas. Amen. It's about Christ, about Him coming, about Him saving us. Amen. My wife said, with great joy he came to all the world. Glory to God. Well, let's stand up. I could ramble on, but when I'm done, I'm done. Hallelujah. We love you. We trust and hope you had all a great Thanksgiving. And I'm going to have Pastor Christine dismiss us in prayer this morning.